I found a written word.
I've read the word. We'll walk in the light of your word.
Every step of the way.
Today. Tomorrow.
This week. Next week. Next month. Next year.
Into decades. And decades and decades.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So quickly, we're going to look at a few things tonight. And we'll take it off from there. I promise Sunday I will not teach. But I think I'm being tempted to do that this Sunday again. But still looking at it. But take off on this tonight. And we'll look at how we would mend it either this week. Because we might not be around next week, Thursday. I might not be around on Thursday. So how I'll mend it by Sunday.
Sunday I'll borrow your time. Long time.
Anyway, I know I promised. Anyway, I'll try and keep to my promise for Sunday. Please. Am I being... You hear me? Then Matthew 1:1. So looking at understanding the gospel.
Amen. Understanding the gospel.
Okay. Understanding the gospel. Matthew 1:1. So we looked at a couple of things. But we said, very vital is how do we read our Bible?
How do you read your Bible?
And I said a very major or a major habit that has been done to a whole lot of us is that attempt to read your Bible from two compartments. When we read Old Testament and New Testament. Right? So you have a Bible divided into two. That's not of God.
Amen.
To read the Bible in the Old Testament, say this is Old Testament. And we don't go further than that and say Old Testament is gone.
How?
No! Amen? Amen? You don't go that far. That is... And I shared something with us. I said, many times, growing up, there's this whatever that we used to do. They will tell us Old Testament is gone. Yet, we will come with a Bible that doesn't have Old Testament. They will call it razor. So, question is, help us, bro. He said we should go with complete Bible, and yet we should not read some part of that Bible. How? Amen. We are calling razor. We need a cutlass to cut out the tree. The razor cannot cut out the tree. Question. But you think we should not read? I got born again, being told in 98. So, these days it's very important to say when you are born again. In 98, I was born again to say. Where we are not being told that we shouldn't read Old Testament books. In fact, I grew up running away from Old Testament books. Running away. I couldn't even read. Whom? What? How? No, that's old. It's gone. It's not. Isn't the understanding of the scripture in the New Testament? No. Amen. I would say, well, they got that from the later interpreter, it's an interpretation. So I said, what you should do is, when you get to your Bible, you find Old Testament and New Testament, don't really like Old Testament, cut it away. Read your Bible as one. Hallelujah. We said, what Jesus read, when Jesus was in the earth, walked the earth, he didn't read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were not even written when Jesus was alive in the earth. Hope you're following me. Was not even written at all. Paul didn't have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Because they were not written. Amen. Paul didn't even read from Paul writing to Galatians, they read from Rome. What they had is Genesis down to Malachi. It's called scriptures. John 5 verse 39. Jesus will say, you search the scripture. So what does he call scripture? That means Jesus had Bible. So Jesus' Bible is Genesis down to Malachi. So search the scripture, then you think you have a kind of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he said, if you had believed Moses, so, you see, he read from Moses. That Moses, you say, Moses is God, don't read Moses, Jesus read from Moses. In 2 Timothy, this is Paul now. Paul, okay, before I get to Paul, let's look at Jesus again. Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 25. He said to his disciples, on their way to Emmaus, he said, oh, fools and scrubs have to believe in all the prophets. So, he used the word prophets for the scriptures. So, scriptures is called prophets. It's called law and prophets. It's called our prophet. It's called Moses, the prophet and the son. So he said, you search, I mean, he said, oh, fools, not about to believe in all the prophets, and so he said, all for the Christ. We talk about this in our 20th century, verses 6 and 27, and beginning at Moses. And Jesus had to read from Moses, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Stop there, and I want to tell you something. One of the things you learn in discipleship or in the local church, very vital, is one thing that you learn in discipleship. Remember, I told you a very vital activity in discipleship is teaching. So one of the things you learn is how to interpret scripture. Okay, the believer must learn how to interpret scriptures. Glory to God. We're going to find that out shortly. Now he said, begin at Moses. This is Jesus in verse 27. Beginning, so Jesus started from Moses. Moses is Genesis. Now begin at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded, that's the word, where we get the word hermeneutics. He expounded the hermeneo. The hermeneo means to go through with the aid of explaining. So Jesus went through scriptures to explain scriptures. He said, I found that in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So scriptures, Jesus went scriptures, and that scripture is what he calls what? Moses and the prophets. Okay, wait, wait, wait. So you shouldn't miss this at all in your Bible study. So one of the things we learn is how to interpret scriptures, how to read scriptures well. You learn the act of reading scriptures well. And how would you read scriptures well? How would you know you will learn this well? It will come out in the kind of questions you ask. Amen. So someone who is taught well scriptures will have to ask intelligent questions. That shows you are taught well. Someone who isn't taught well, now, you can have people that are in a church where scriptures have been taught well and they are not listening. Right? Right? But also to the kind of question you ask about false scriptures will tell how you have been taught. Hallelujah. Imagine you ask someone asking you, and that's speaking in tongues thing. You look at that person not talking. And then you ask intelligent questions. Glory to God. Intelligent questions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that aside, so we'll find that out in the disciples. Look at how Jesus interpreted scriptures from Moses. The way they will not interpret scriptures will come from Moses. So the 39 books, listen, the 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi, become the primary, listen, material that they had to teach theology. It became the primary material they had to teach theology. Paul didn't have to rely on any other thing to teach theology. He had to rely on Genesis down to Malachi. Therefore, Genesis to Malachi, listen, Genesis to Malachi is sufficient for theology. Genesis to Malachi is sufficient for theology. And you must know it emphatically.
It's sufficient for theology.
The New Testament, as we call it. The New Testament is explaining the Old Testament book. Yes, it is, but the New Testament needs the Old Testament to understand it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do I mean? The New Testament needs the Old Testament to understand it. The Old Testament doesn't really need the New Testament to understand it. Okay, what do I mean?
Yes, sir.
And you need to understand that truth and that fact very well. Glory to God. You don't understand it very well. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
So, let me get into a few details this evening. So, we said you will find how the interpreted scripture will be the same. They learned from Jesus. So, they will have a similar mode of interpreting scriptures to how Jesus interpreted scriptures. Very similar. Hallelujah. Very, very similar. They will interpret the same way. In fact, I said to you that the writers of the synoptic, they were writing about the incarnation of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote about the incarnation of Jesus. They were writing for you to see. They said to say to us that they were writing for you to see that the incarnation is Jesus as both a man and God. Or put it like this, as God in man. You see that? So how would they write it? You're not writing it for abstract books. No. I heard someone say, you can understand God. You can know God by reading philosophical books. How? The only primary book you have when you have the knowledge of God is the scriptures, Genesis down to Revelation. Okay, follow me.
Yes, sir.
That's how you know God. You can know God outside Genesis to Revelation. You can't use an Hare Krishna book to know about God. Hope you're hearing me. You can't use an Hindu book to know about God. You can't even use the Quran to know about God. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Very, very vital. Hallelujah. So they're writing about that, and in Genesis, in Matthew 1, I'll just run through this because of time. Matthew 1, he said the book of the generation, Matthew 1:1, generations of Jesus Christ. He said the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we said the book of the generation. Now when you use the word generation there, your mind goes to Genesis 5:1. It's the word genealogy. Genesis. What Genesis? So he goes to Genesis, and then he makes you see that the underlining where he's writing from is in Genesis, and he calls the Genesis of Jesus. Hallelujah! So the book of Genesis is not creation story; it's actually the new creation story. Hallelujah! What are you following me? It's a new creation story. So he calls it the Genesis of Jesus, and what would you find? He called the Son of David. Remember, I told you when you had the word son there, is this for the offspring of God through the lineage of men. Hallelujah. So that's where you have it. So the concept of sonship is the concept of seed. So you find the concept of seed in this concept of sonship. Hallelujah. So you go back again and read he as the seed of David. And David, knowing that his seed will sit on the throne, will now say in Psalm 100, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, seat at my right hand. Did you see that? The Lord said to my Lord, and he was talking about his seed. Okay, follow me. We looked at all this in the weeks before. Hallelujah. The Lord said to my Lord. So we say this is section 8, so we know where we are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord said to my Lord. So he knows it was going to be his seed, and he knew his seed was not going to be Solomon. His seed is the Christos, the Christ. Hallelujah. They said the Lord said, and that is Yahweh said to Yahweh, showing you that his seed is going to be Yahweh. And Yahweh that will be his seed will be his Lord. So Jesus walks meeting the Pharisees, he asked them, who is the Christ? He said the Christ, and they replied, the Christ is the Son of David. And Jesus now asked them a question in Matthew 22:42. He says, how then did David in the Spirit call him Lord? He is the Son. And they kept quiet and couldn't answer. Hallelujah. He's Lord because he's David's seed. And David's seed will be God himself that will come through the lineage of man. Who said that? Or through his lineage, David. We'll find those over here. Abraham and his seed. The seed of Abraham is not actually Isaac. The seed of Abraham is who? The Lord. God himself. Remember he promised Abraham a seed that... about the seed, spoken about the seed and the land. And in chapter 17 of Genesis, he now said he is the El Shaddai. El Shaddai means he is the wide land. That means God becomes to Abraham what he says to Abraham. Did you see that? So he calls Abraham father of many nations. Actually, he's not Abraham the father of many nations. He's God that is father of many nations. But he will be father of many nations through the lineage of Abraham. Hope you're following me now. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you find that. So when it says seed there, seed of Abraham will be God choosing the lineage of Abraham to come through. Did you see that? So when you go to genealogy, you'll find Abraham in Jesus' genealogy. Okay, follow you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So you find that there. That is God choosing to come through this lineage. Find it all true. So the seed is not actually Isaac. But when Abraham probed further, he now said, okay, let me show you a sign. Then he now brings in Israel. You see that? So Israel, being called the seed of Abraham, was actually a sign, not the seed. You get that? Glory to God. So we found all that in our studies. So let's get into some other things. Amen. So, right, like I said, it was writing about God in man. And Matthew now calls the seed of Abraham. Son of Abraham, son of David. To make you see that Jesus is both God and man. Do you see that? Or put it like this, God in man. So, but in the incarnation, he's 100% God, 100% man, but yet function as man 100%. Amen? Yes, he's set aside from his God, from his deity, to function as a man, in functionality, as a man 100%. Mark 1. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Mark 1.
you find it again. The same way, because they are intelligent students of the scriptures, they mark who opened up, he said, the beginning.
Watch it.
The beginning of the gospel. So he used that word archaeoma, used for Genesis again.
Beginning. When you hear beginning in scriptures,
it means Genesis many times. He said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what do we call that? Now, so that means, when you all have in Genesis, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we, like I said to us, when we get into CLC, you see where, why I have to take the route I have to take in this teaching. Glory to God. So, he says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? He now says the Son of God. What was Matthew said? What was Mark said? Matthew said, Son of David, Son of Abraham. Mark said, Son of God. To make you see, that's what they're writing the same thing. Remember, when he was Son of David, Son of Abraham, it means the seed of God, the Son of God that will come through the lineage of man. So now, Mark calls it the Son of God. The same thing. Making you see that emphasis is God's seed. Is God's offspring. Hallelujah. Remember I said you shouldn't take your eyes off the cultural connotations of words. And those words were not in your day. So you can't read it in your day. So I said, Jesus is the Son of God. So now, where is the mother? I should slap you and collect all your school fees. Go back to school and your mother that. Say, no, son means if you have to be a son, you need to have a mother and a wife.
See,
your mother,
let me slap you.
My daughter can't even say that. When she grows up. How? Can you say that? You must learn to read words in their words. And the problem many literature students have, that's why they can't, many people, many of them, think past Shakespeare. Because they're trying to read Shakespeare in their words. That's the problem with Facebook. In fact, the language there is not your language. Amen? It's this love for me that thou, my precious, dwell.
What is that? This love. What is this love?
That is Shakespeare. So you have to go up to his word to understand what he's saying in his word. Hallelujah. Whoever knows him. Amen. When you pick up the book Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, you will think he's writing Things Fall Apart. And he'll say, I can't hope. And he now put it in a I grew up watching that for many things. He now put it in that dramatic fashion when you have Okonkwo. Now you have to think it's a village setting or whatever. No, he was actually dealing with his world. In fact, that book was dealing with a practice in their world. Because actually that book is national. So he now is just like drawing the map of the world and putting it in an atlas. You know what they've done? They will now, sorry to say, I didn't do geography, but I have small sense. Or geography. So when you put it in that atlas, you measure.
I don't know how to explain this one now, but
God will give you it. Okay, let's say I want to have this dimension. Right? This dimension. I want to have it in this small notes. What do you think I would do to retain the same dimension? Eh? Please.
Did you do geography?
Okay, what would you do? You will use the same. Hallelujah. Now you are able to fix these things. Amen. So that is what he has just done. A global whatever issue happening within his world is so he reduced it into a village setting. And you think what that thing moves. And you are now blinded. Now we hear it Abalawai. That is like it's all come forward. And you are happy. You are just dizzy. Because what is writing was beyond that village setting. This is that. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. How did I even get to Okonkwo? Amen. Okay, you can't read words in your world. Amen. You can't read Bible. So you have to understand the cultural connotation. So when it says Son of God, you have to read it in that word. So when it says Son of God, for you to see that Jesus is deity. They are writing it consciously. And you have to read it from the Genesis. Amen. Amen. I don't want to call this the apex of it. That is John 1. I'm skipping Luke for a reason. I tell you, because I know I've read Luke
earlier. Yeah,
amen. Now look at Luke. And then look, John. John said in the beginning was the Word. And we looked at that Word. That is the word Dabar.
You know, the word was God and the word was God. So that word Dabar there, from the,
that's the Hebrew word for the word Logos. He said that word is used for the visible reality of God in the Old Testament books. And we said God was visible to them in the Old Testament books. He came to them.
Amen. They had interactions with God. We saw that. Hallelujah.
It is the same person that appeared to Moses, appeared to Abraham.
Genesis 15 verse 1 and verse 4 said the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying,
word of the Lord
came to Abraham saying. In 1 Samuel 3 verse 9, the Bible says about the word of the Lord, he appeared to Samuel. In verse 21, he showed himself as the word of the Lord in Shiloh to Samuel. Did you see that?
Amen. So that you don't miss it. Yeah, it says Samuel 3:21. That you don't miss it. He showed. So the visible appearance of God within the Old Testament book is called the Word of God. It's called the Dabar Yahweh. Amen. He was the one in the garden. Say the word of the Lord, Lord Genesis 3. Say the word of the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day.
Amen.
So they saw him. Adam saw him. And we said, listen up now. And we said, the difference between the Old and the New Testament is not Jesus. No, the difference is Jesus. No, the difference is not Jesus. Because Jesus was also in the Old Testament books. He is in the Old Testament books and he functioned in the Old Testament books as the Word of the Lord, not Jesus as a name. Amen.
He functioned as the Word of the Lord. We said all that in our teachings.
Hallelujah. So get this teaching, get the previous teachings we've been teaching on wavering faith, leading of the Spirit. I guess I've been discussing that since the beginning of this year.
Amen.
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 So let's see a few things.
So we began looking at understanding the gospel. And then we said something very vital. We said, what in the New Testament book will have its origin within the Old Testament books, right?
Because we were reading some Old Testament books.
And then we also said something very vital. In looking at words, you have to understand the cultural connotation of those words. And what is the origin of the cultural connotations? In the 39 books, right? Or what we call the Old Testament books. So we have to go there to look at the words. And we looked at seed. We've spoken about seed. We began looking at the word name. And the name is not used for a title. Name is used for a function.
Amen.
Name is used for a function. So get those teachings. So when God appeared, God said his name is Jehovah. And he mentioned, he called his name Jehovah or I am. Not that it is a title, but this is his function.
And it doesn't so when you went here, not for the name of the Lord in vain, not about calling it, but using it without a function. Do you see that?
Amen.
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 So, what is God's name? Question.
See, his name is Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua, HaMashiach.
Hallelujah. Let's continue. No, we'll get to that. So let's get into some other details. Luke quickly. Now you see why I have to wait for Luke. Luke 24. Okay. Luke 24, verses 46. It says, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer,
and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin, the preaching is laid among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, very vital, it says, it is written and behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now,
Mark, what is this?
Now, what should be preached? Repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name. Is that? Amen. So what will you have in his name that should be preached?
Repentance and remission of sin.
But what are you teaching his name where you find repentance and remission of sin? We'll see all that soon. In Mark 16. Mark 16. On verses 15. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
And preach the gospel. It says, he that believes and his baptized shall be saved.
See, he that believe not shall be damned.
And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name.
Now, is any man that not that believe in my name? Is it his name as a title or his name as a teaching within Genesis to Malachi?
Okay, let's stop there. For you to answer that, look at Luke 24 again.
Verse 27. It says, And beginning at Moses and other prophets, he explained unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Now,
can we let look at what him and put his name? Concerning him, is it concerning his name too? So he talks from Genesis to Malachi, the things concerning his name. Then he now tells them, go make disciples or go preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized, and this is that brethren that believe in my name. Is it my name as a title or that explanation that they receive from Genesis down to Malachi? Explanation from Genesis down to Malachi to see what is his function. Did you see that? So his name is not a title. Not a rubber stamp title. See, I was shouting Jesus, Jesus was there, and another said, Yeshua HaMashiach! And then you will listen to me.
I was the one that taught somebody.
Listen, I thought I don't want to call anyone special.
Oh, let me call. Let me pause.
So I wanted to go back to what I want to her.
Just proceed.
God is on the truth. Amen. But you have to see it.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeshua Mashiach. Right, here I heard, know the pronunciation. It's not really Yeshua. Yeshua Mashiach. What is Yeshua Mashiach?
Yeshua. Yeshua. Because you are not looking at that.
So, with that, it comes to name. Name is used for functionality. That when Jesus was alive, he was not the only one bearing Jesus. In fact, there's one guy that cannot score good. That is nothing. His name is Jesus. And when Liverpool is playing that, I say Jesus was for Salah.
No, Jesus, Papa, was Muhammad, Christian, was
just so funny. Football can be funny. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So Jesus was not the only one bearing the name Jesus. So when you say Jesus, you are referring to that function you have from Genesis down to Malachi. A function.
How do
you?
Function. Functionality.
So I said you have to understand what the language connotation is.
I skipped one part of that language conversation for later on today on the use of the name Jesus. Amen. Later on today or maybe subsequent weeks to look at it so that you see the other part of the name.
Amen. Language conversation of that name Jesus. It's for a reason. Okay. So, it says, preach the gospel. Now, we say that name there is not a pronunciation or
It doesn't sound, might not sound Jesus in your mind. I shall Yeshua. But you shall understand what Jesus you understand the functionality. Right?
Right? Peter did a miracle. The gate called Peter and answered, what have you done? He said, the name of Jesus, by faith in the name. This is that by faith in the name. You have to have faith in that functionality because in their world, names are used for functionality. Because you have Jesus. Like the source was given, he said, the name of Jesus that Paul preached. And people said, Paul will know. Jesus will know. Who are you?
Jesus, because there were several people bearing Jesus. So he said, the name of Jesus that Paul preached, because there were several Jesus. So he didn't know the one Paul was going to preach. Do you see that? So Jesus was not the only one answered Jesus in his day.
That's
right. Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
So that you don't miss it.
Hallelujah. Okay. So he says, one, in my name, cast out demons. But look at what he said at first. He says, preach the gospel.
Now that word is very vital. Preach the gospel. Keruso, keruso, you are genial. Now that word to preach is the word to announce. That word to preach. You know, I know I was there last 2 years. But I'm going to take it off from where I stopped. To preach, to announce. We have the word, you are genial, keruso, you are genial. To announce. Right? Now this is what you are genuine. Good news. Now, I said if you stay with that, stop. See me, what is good news? What's gospel in Yoruba?
That
it means an announcement, right?
A message, an announcement, right?
Now, that's a good announcement. As nice as it sounds, right? As nice as it sounds, you are genuine.
good news.
What is gospel? Gospel means good news. If I will have a song, good news, good news. Quite time for me. Good news, good news. See finally. Good news, good news. I have eternal life. A wonderful answer. Good news. It's good news. Right? But say if you take it on that surface level as good news, you will miss the import of that word.
And I explained to us in last series why it's called good news in the New Testament.
It's called good news because it is the news of what God has done. Do you see that?
It's a good news because it's the news of what God has done.
God, from Genesis, what God does is called good. Now, what God has done in the resurrection is why it's called good news. But if we look at it in that surface level, you will miss the import of that word. Amen. So is that word good news or euangelion is it has a root word. The origin of that word is from the word basar. Basar.
When you understand the use of the word basar, basar is the word used for a kingdom news. A kingdom news. Let's get to that word basar. That's the Hebrew word of the Greek word euangelion. Is the word basar, a kingdom news.
It's used for the news at war. A news at war. And I explained that to us. That in a war conquest, for example, the people fight. So there are spectators that watch. Chelsea now won Arsenal. No, sorry. Chelsea now won Man City. To go into a final. So the Man City guys go with the news. The Chelsea guys go with the news. Now the Man City guys go with is it a good news? No, it's a bad news. We lost. But the Chelsea guys go with the good news. We are in Wembley. You see that? Amen. So both news is called Bata. You see that? So Bata is not just good news. It's both good and a bad news. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
When it says basar, is it for what the good and the bad news?
The guy in 2 Samuel,
the Amalekite that came with the news of Saul's death, is called basar. It's a news.
It was a bad news. And I meant David to tear his blood. But it's called news. It's called basar. So basar is not just a good news. It's both the good and the bad news. Listen. I'm going to show you, like I said to us in the last series, not last session, last series, I said to us, I took my Bible yesterday, I said the reason why it's called good news is because it's good over evil, right? Right? Jesus conquered death. He has resurrected. So it's good news.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But when you go back to see the import of that word, it's both for good and bad news.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. So the good news at war is used for a messenger. Watch it.
It's used for a messenger of the news. So it's not just the messenger that is called good news or that is called basar. The messenger is called basar.
So Jesus in the New Testament is both the news and the messenger.
You see that? Amen.
So Jesus is also basar.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's also used for the word basar is used for the announcement of that news.
So the man that carries the news,
watch it. So basar is the event, which is the message, the carrier, right? You see how all the compartments is the event, the carrier, and when he begins to announce it. Did you see that? Amen. So you now understand when Mark or when Jesus will now say Keruso euangelion, it's the same thing. The Keruso and the euangelion is the same thing, basar. Did you see that?
Yes,
hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. In 1 Samuel 4, let's run through some scriptures now. 1 Samuel 4 verse 17, look at this. He says, and the messenger answered and said, now that's the word messenger, the basar, the messenger, the one that carries the message. Amen. The one that carries the message.
You find it again in 1 Samuel 31:9. Let me just run through it for you.
But I could get to
before time is up. 1 Samuel 31:9.
They used to announce a message.
2 Samuel 1:20. That guy that came with the news of Saul's death. 2 Samuel 1:20. The Amalekite. 2 Samuel 4:10. For a good tidings. A good tidings. In 2 Samuel 18:19-20. 2 Samuel 18:19-20. 26 and 31. It's just a good news.
A news. Could be bad news too. In First Kings, we have bad news.
In 1 Kings 1:42. News. First half.
Amen. Now something I need to show you is Psalms 40. Watch quickly with me to Psalms 40. I'll read from verses 9. Read verse 9. It says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. That is the word to preach. I have preached righteousness. Did you see that? Where you find the word keruso.
Did you see that? Amen. So you see, it's both for keruso and wajaniel. I have preached. So that means, that's why when you hear the word Kerusa, I showed it to us last session, last two series. I said to us, when you find the word Kerusa, when you hear the word to announce, it also carries, you must have a Kerusa. The Kerusa must go with the Kerugman. And then you must see, the Kerusa is the announcement of the Kerugman. The Kerugman is the message itself, which is the same gospel. So you can't say Kerusa without the Kerugman. What is the Kerugman? The Hewajalion. So when you hear that word, so they are together. So when you hear Kerusa, you ask the question, what is the Kerugman? Hewajalion. So when you get to the Old Testament book, you'll see them locked up in that same word, Basa. Both the announcement of it and the message of it is called Basa. Who are following that?
Yes, sir.
Amen? Don't lose it at all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, very vital. Now, take this Psalm 68 verse 11, 96 verse 2. It's used for to show forth and to publish. Just put that somewhere. We'll get to see some of that on Sunday. Amen. To show forth and to publish. I know I'm skipping some things tonight. Lord, where I need us to get to by Sunday. Amen. Amen. So, hope to round this up with us on Sunday.
Round it up on Sunday now to get prepared for CRC. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hope to. I use the word hopeful. Hope to. Anyway, so, I'm going to collapse some things and pick it up during CRC and continue after CRC.
That's just like plans
sometime in the year. Look at the time. Now something was talking about
Basa. Said it, let me get to my book. Well,
what was talking about Basa? Some things I don't want to miss now. Is the fact that Basa deals with warfare. I said it to Ross last time. It deals with warfare.
You hear Basa. You ask yourself, what is the war? Because it deals with warfare. Why warfare? Because in warfare, that's when you have kingdoms. So it deals with kingdoms, lands. Kingdoms, lands is the news of the war. So there's a warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. So that I showed us last series. The purpose of last series, let me tell you, is that I was dealing with you to see the gospel of the war. Amen. It's a war. It's a fight. But not a fight where we don't have, where we don't know the answer. The fight where we know the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has won the battle. Hallelujah. Amen. Because Jesus has resurrected from death, so we have the answer. So it's a good news. And that good news, I'm telling them about the fight. What's the fight? Light and darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Good over evil. Hallelujah.
That means
in your sin,
light can shine. You can be cleansed.
That is your sin.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Let's face over. So we hear the word basar, it deals with the war. Warfare. Right? You have a land. We need to look at these two together. Okay. It deals with the land. Land. A kingdom. What is it? Land.
A kingdom. Kingdom. People.
We're going to take this one after it. So, let me stop. We'll take it after here.
A land. A kingdom. A land to a kingdom. Put it like that. Land to a kingdom. A war.
Land to a kingdom. Watch it.
A people. A people. Hallelujah.
And a king. A king. So let's step back a bit. I'll take some of these things in the surface, on the surface level, and then we'll deal with it later. Amen. So the question will now be, a land, a warfare, I mean a warfare, a land, why a warfare? Why a land?
Amen. Why a warfare? Now, why a warfare?
Now, I showed you something. I said, in
scriptures, you will discover that God will accommodate human culture. Did I say that to us?
God will always accommodate human culture, though he's not endorsing it.
But he will use human culture. He will use human science. Yet he will not endorse it. But he will use it to pass across his message.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then I said to us, the gospel that Jesus, Abraham heard. What do you mean that Abraham heard the gospel? Abraham, gospel? Which gospel? He heard the gospel. But Abraham did not hear about Jesus.
No. But not Jesus. But the same gospel Abraham heard. The same gospel he heard. Just the part of your gospel is that, okay, there's Jesus in the gospel. But Jesus wasn't actually there mentioned to Abraham, but it was there. And I showed us, right? The gospel Abraham heard was the gospel concerning the seed, which it was God truly made of men, right? Genesis 15. And Abraham believed God. What did he believe? God was going to be the seed. And God was going to give us the land. Watch it. There was a land and there was a seed. And God now said he is that land. Showing you that seed and that land will be God. Is that?
Amen.
Will be God. The seed and the land will be God.
So the land is not Canaan. No. But that was not when they got to Canaan. There was still a land. There was still a land being spoken of. In fact, when they got to Canaan, they became a kingdom. Amen. I'm going to explain that to you. So the verbiage changed from a land to, though there was still mention of land, I bring them to a land, yet there was still another thing added, kingdom. You see that? And you see all those verbiage together. You now be adding kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Because they are now a kingdom. Okay, wait, wait, wait. Amen. But God is now the land. So, though they were in Canaan, there was still another kingdom spoken of. There was still another land spoken of. To make you know that the land wasn't actually Canaan. But when you miss it and think it's Canaan, then you miss Genesis 7, so when God said he is that land. And when they were to come out of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 6, God said he will gather them to himself. That they will come to him. Did you see that? So, that land, that gathering is to him. So, the question is, why a land? So listen, God will not use a culture that they were used to. They were agrarians. Listen, so God will use that concept of land. Because they understand what land is. Land in their world is used to a prized possession. Right? Right? So in acquiring land in their world, many times wars are fought. Did you see that? So God is going to accommodate that. Amen? God is going to accommodate that, and yet he's not endorsing fighting. Did you see that? He's not endorsing fighting,
but he's accommodating it. Hallelujah. But not accommodating it. Yes, he's not endorsing.
When John was away in the wilderness,
the Amalekites came to fight him. So war is used for, I told us when we started this series that war is either used for what? Who can remember? War is used for what? In the war, the language, the cultural connotation, war is used for what? Yes, thank you, you remember. Is what is used for is a clash of gods. Did you say that? It's a clash of gods. So what is used to show class? It's a clash of gods. So, and why was man being used of gods? Because you want to show whose god is stronger, so we'll go on the wall. Did you see that? So it's a means of preaching it also. How? People died.
Yet was a culture.
So those who did that, they will not have to worship your God. Isn't that? So when they invade you, you worship your God.
When you invade them, you worship your God. Did you see that? Did you see that? So God had to accommodate.
Amen? So when they sinned against God, to show that they are away from God, other nations will attack them and will succeed. Did you see that? Other nations will attack them and
succeed. Did you see that? Away from God. Hope you're following that.
So war was a clash of gods.
Hallelujah, clash of gods.
Whose God is superior?
So when I win you, you will serve my God.
That's the word. Now, it was also used to acquire land. Automatically, if I subdue you, your land is mine. Did you see that?
So it was a prized possession. So Abraham is the heir of the land.
Very prized. So God employs it. To talk about it. So God is saying, I'm that prized possession. Hallelujah. I'm that land. Not Canaan, but the war and the warfare will be God accommodated. Right? To show what he will do.
Hallelujah. God has to accommodate it. So you ask the question, why warfare? We'll say it. Right? So why warfare? Why land? When God spoke to Abraham, what does it want to Isaac and Jacob in that land? Let's see Jacob. Land was in view. Hallelujah. Amen. Was the land in view? Look at Jacob 48. Now, remember I told you stop. Before we look at Jacob, okay, let's look at Jacob, Genesis 48. Yes, but it's 28 to... I don't know my Bible. What was this? 28. Yes, but it.
48 is when he gave me.
Amen. 28. Now, Jacob dreamed. Right? He had a dream. But stop, he dreamed. Now, when he had a dream, that dream,
Jacob dreamed. It's similar to the dream of Adam and Abraham.
You know, Adam had a dream.
He had a vision. God made him to sleep and took ribs.
No. It's similar, it's the same vision. Vision of what God is doing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So in Genesis chapter 2, when God caused a deep sleep on Adam, was not a deep sleep, there was no God doing surgery. It's actually a vision. He had a vision.
And in the vision, he saw two ribs. So he said, God took out of Adam's ribs.
No, stop talking nonsense. I formed the woman. So where was the woman in Genesis 1:27? Where he said, made them male and female. Did you see that? So where was the ribs then?
So the ribs, in fact, if you told Adam, God took your ribs, Adam would say, I don't know what's in the ribs. The use of the word reads there is an interpretation. Abraham too does not know what he reads. Because in their word they were not for root. Remember what it is? That word reads there is the Hebrew word for a side of a temple. So what Adam saw was the sides of the temple. Two sides of the temple. Which is the male and the female. So that means in God's image, Genesis 1:26, in God's image,
which will say the image of God is Christ. So God's image will have male and female. So that is what you have in God's temple. The woman is included. That was a direct attack at the culture of their world. We are looking at that today. Hallelujah. So you have male and female. That's what it says. So that means in God's land, do you know that? In God's heaven and earth, you have the male and the female. The same vision as what Abraham also had in Genesis. It's a vision. That is a vision. Hallelujah. Amen. Now Jacob is having the same vision. In Jacob's vision, he saw the heavens open, a ladder from heaven reached the earth, and God stood above the ladder. And when Jacob woke from that dream in verse 17, look at verse 17. Look at what he said in verse 17. He said, and he was afraid and said, do you have Jeffrey this place? He said, this is no other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So when he says the house of God, when he says house of God there, is that word Bethel. Beit El. That's the word Beit El. Beit is used for a family. A family. So he makes you see that God is building his family. Watch it. What is God building? God is building his family. God is building his land. Amen. So when he's building his family, he is at the top of the ladder. Meaning he is the head there. Hallelujah. In God's family, God is the head. You see that? Hallelujah. God is the head. Watch it. In God's family, he is the head. So he is raising, is building his family in all the earth. So Jacob saw it, Beit El, God's family, where? In all the earth. So that's what God is doing. So then tells Abraham, the land is my family. Hallelujah. His family, he's building a family in all the earth. And in that family, he is the head. You see that? He is the head. He is the head of the family. He is the land. So he's building his family in himself. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So have a land. A land. Watch it. Now I said, when it became a kingdom, which is when they go to Canaan, they became a kingdom. Right? A kingdom. But there were kingdoms before, and one of the things you have is warfare. How did they get the land? What you have? Let me get there. How did they get into the land of Canaan? How did they get into the land of Canaan? They have to fight wars. They have to cross Jericho. Did you see that? They fought wars. They had those wars. Did you see that? They were claiming territories. That's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about claiming territories. I said to us last time, I said you must be territorial. Hallelujah. It was the territorial. The gospel is about territory. Remember when they went to Jericho, they took over Jericho. Hallelujah. Through that warfare. Now, in the New Testament, what that two sound warfare to signify? That is to signify both the gospel and prayer. But that's how you take territories. Hallelujah. We deal with all that. Immediately after CFC. We deal with all that. Hallelujah. It was the territorial. A believer who is not territorial is thinking. Is a believer who is not actually who has not understood the scriptures well. Hallelujah. What is territorial? And it will move you to pray. Because you know it's a clash of God. Not a clash of God where God begins to fight like Anthony Joshua. No. You are actually his victory over death. Hallelujah. Over sin. Hallelujah. In the resurrection, you are announcing it to the whole world. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, enemy. Yeah, you announce it. Glory to God. No, God is not saying, oh yeah, I'm not going to fight. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you must be territorial. I said, why do we pray the way we do for the unsaved? Because their mind, they need to be convinced. Hallelujah. And God doesn't hypnotize people's minds. So we have to pray. That is where we fight. That is where we fight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll get to deal with all that soon. Amen. So we said the land. They became a kingdom. Right now you don't have the kingdom war. Yeah, we're going to deal with that. But yeah, it was kingdom. Kingdom. land, kingdom. Okay. Kingdom deals with authority. Well, kingdom.
We're going to look at this on Sunday. I'll actually deal with kingdom. I'll actually deal on kingdom with the whole lot on Sunday.
Now, when you hear the word kingdom, it deals with authority. Authority.
It deals with kings.
Let's deal with kings. Kings and authority. When you hear the word king,
in that word, king is authority.
We'll deal with that. So, when you know kingdom, it deals with the king. King and authority. King and authority. King. Usually, the one who won the territory is the king. Hallelujah. And he has the authority.
Do you hope ever learn it? The one who won the territory, that was the Babylonian war. The one who won the battle, the war, is the king. He is called the Sultan. Savior is the king Sultan. Right? Savior. And he has the authority.
The authority is in his functionality. That victory. Do you see that? That victory is where the authority is lying. He has the authority.
He is the Sultan, the king. He has authority.
Come on, look at this now. Now when you hear king, and when you get back to Isaiah, when the word Basa is used in relation to territories. What is it? It's in relation to territories. Look at Isaiah 40 verse 9. It's used in relation to territories. It's used in relation to kingdoms. Isaiah 40. What is this? Verse 9. It says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Now, good tidings there is where you have the word basar. That bringeth for good tidings. Get up unto the high mountains, O Jerusalem. That bringeth good tidings by far. Lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Says unto the city of Judah, behold your God. Hallelujah.
You see, you have territories, you have kingdoms. Now when there's Zion, Zion is used for the stronghold of David. When the first king of Israel is Saul. Fine. But actually, the first king of Israel is David.
But let's not get into that complexity. Hallelujah. Because Saul as Israel's king was man's choice, but God's choice of a king is David. We're going to see that Saul was a man's king.
How? Because when David, Moses
spelled out who should be king, we are going to see it now.
When David spelled out who was to be king, and also from Jacob, he was supposed to come from Judah. And Saul was from Benjamin. Did you see that? Man's king.
But God's king, God's kingdom, was that guy that here, David is the king after God has. That is God's choice. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That's God's choice. Judah.
We'll deal with that. Amen. That's Judah. But we can deal with that later.
Hallelujah. Not today.
Not even this series. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
So here's Zion. Look at Isaiah 52. I'm skipping some things. Verse 7. You say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings. They publish a peace and bring good tidings of good. That public salvation and say to Zion, hallelujah, thy God reigns.
Zion is a stronghold of David. In fact, a stronghold of David that God had to adopt to talk about what he's doing in here. God had to adopt it.
David's stronghold.
When he said David has so long. Stronghold. Amen. You know, when you get into your stronghold, you don't into that country. That gives you stronghold. That's where David's authority lies. Amen. That's where his authority lies. He's like the White House.
Authority.
So that is David's authority. Isn't that his stronghold?
So you see, that mention. Stronghold. Nation's territory.
Hallelujah.
Why?
We're
going to
see that.
Amen. Oh, we're looking at this. Amen. So you have kingdom mentioned. Zion, David. David is from Judah. And let's get down to where Judah came in. Genesis 48. Quickly. Genesis 48. Who are following me? Amen. Genesis 48. Oh, 49. And Jacob called his sons and said to them, gather yourselves up together. And may I tell you that we should be for it. Now, when he gets to, he spoke about Reuben, that my first son, my mind, the beginning of my strength, excellency, and dignity. Then he said, he's unstable, very unstable child. Look about Simeon. Then when he gets to verse 9, he now says, Judah is a lion's whelp. A lion's whelp. Judah is the lion's whelp. Well, you're a lion there. The lion's whelp. It says, from the prey, my son, that had gone off and stood down, he crouched as a lion. This is that lion. It's not saying Judah is a lion as he's in the bush. Functionality. Did you see that? That's a function. Functionality. Says lion's whelp. It says, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? It says, the scepter. Now when you use the word scepter there, it's used for kingship. The scepter. Kingship. Rulership. Authority. Watch it. So when Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's from this lineage. So when that Jesus is from that lineage of Judah. Isn't that? Amen. From that lineage. Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's that lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. So when he accepts that, he's referring to kingship. Amen. He says, the Savior will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Lawgiver, that's authority. Until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Is it, who is he referring to? Is it Judah and the gathering of his people? No. He's telling you Judah is just that figure. Because when the gathering of these people will be who? Israel, God's family. That will be God. Do you see that? But he's telling you authority. When you hear Judah depicts authority. Listen, depicts authority, depicts a kingdom. Hallelujah. Kingdom. Now, what kind of kingdom? Everlasting kingdom. Do you see that? Amen. Okay, I'm going to read that. Everlasting kingdom. Judah defeats everlasting kingdom. God's kingdom. Not this Judah, but you know, was a shadow of what God is going to do. Did you see that? So Jacob speaks about Judah as a shadow of what God is going to do in the earth. Unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Hallelujah. The scepter, kingship, rulership, authority. Now where is it taking? Is it, where is he reading from? He's reading from his father or his grandfather. Abraham. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 17:6. So when you hear Judah, right? It's kingship. Judah is kingship. Kingship. Hallelujah. It's kingship. Glory to God. Kingship. And something you have to see. Genesis 17. Let's look at verses 6. That's something you have to see. The language connotation of the use of the word name. Name. The cultural connotation rather for the use of the word name. I don't use this for functionality. The word name in their world is used for authority. Use for authority. Authority. The authority of the king is in his name. We'll deal with all that. This one. Amen. The authority of the king is in his name. So, watch it. So that means in that name we have authority, right? We have kingdom. We're going to see all of them together. Amen. So look at the chapter 17 verse 6. It says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. This is that I will make nations of thee. And then nations, there is it the nation of Israel or God's nation? Is that?
Amen.
I will make nations of thee. And thou shalt, I mean, sorry, verse 6. Nation of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Isn't that? Kings. Authority. Kingdom. Authority. Kings. So he's now reading, oh, this kingship will be from Judah. Did you see that? Amen. From Judah. You have Judah representing God's kingship, God's rule. Hallelujah. God's rule. Authority. God's authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So remember we said the gospel. My time is up. No, yeah, the gospel. It gives you that authority. The authority of the king. Now David is the king. We're going to see that in Revelation now here, the keys of David. No, yeah, the keys of David is referring to, he says, I say, Jesus said, I have the keys of David. He said, I shut and open my door. Have the authority of David. Hallelujah. That authority. Amen. That keeps authority.
Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
Amen. Amen. So we see kingship. We will read it from scripture. Hallelujah. So we are dealing with the gospel. So the gospel is about the authority.
Amen. It's about authority. Authority in the name of Jesus
when
we preach the gospel.
You see, authority in the name of Jesus when we preach the gospel.
In that function. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As like when God
did
not send us to preach the gospel
and left us like that. He sent us to preach the gospel and we are well equipped in the preaching of the gospel. You may never shy away. I say this as a close. As a believer, never shy away of that authority you have in the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Never shy away from the young authority in the preaching of the gospel. Men will be saved. And men who are oppressed of the devil, you will set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You set them free. Men who are sick will seek healing as the preaching of the gospel. You have that authority. Never shy away. Never.
Be bold. I have authority.
Hallelujah. I'm well equipped for that. Glory to God. You know the disciples went to preach in Luke. And when they came at the well, they said, Master, I say, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Amen?
They don't even understand scriptures. They don't even know exegesis. They don't even know hearing nothing. They don't even know what he just put. And they lay there and put their feet. You were just, even demons are subject to us. I'm not going to shoot. Even to preach. And they're shining away from the name of Jesus. Listen. Because you know it's a territorial, you are taking see, as you get to a place. Amen. I trust God is coming here. The coming moment has been. But we won't be shown my way. I forgot to say, God is blessing with us. Getting us prepared for, I see. God is getting us prepared as a church for great mission work. And I think and I see that the time is coming very close. I can't really dictate the timing, but I see the timing is very close. You know, hitherto now we try to force ourselves to get into the mission work, but you know, the timing is close. And I guess that, and I believe that's why he's taking us through this period of teaching us and training us by teaching us the word, because the time is close. Very close. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to stand bold. Even as you go out teaching and preaching. As you go out teaching and preaching, you need to be bold. Yeah, you need to be bold. They're not coming there trying to sell a product. No, they're coming there to preach Jesus. Jesus is not the kind of product you're trying to sell or push into people's hands. No, Jesus is the reason why he went out. Jesus is the reason why you could talk about God. Jesus is the reason for creation. So when you get out there, You're not trying to push a product. No, it's not a product.
You are telling men about the Savior, His saving grace, His power, and you'll be bold to banish the work of the devil in the places where you get to.
Yes, sir. You know, you can say, even before you get there, and I step into every location, and I step into every location,
I see that place. Demons will fly.
Because I'm there. You can be that conscious and very conscious. You can be.
You can be that very conscious.
And I step in by the power of the Holy Ghost. No demon can stand that place. Because I come with the power of the Holy Ghost. I come with the authority of the gospel, the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm taking territory. You know, you can say that conscious. Say I'm taking territory.
I go with the power of Jesus.
Preaching the gospel. Casting out demons.
Stopping the works of the enemy.
In the lives of men.
In the lives of men.
In locations.
Where I found myself.
Preaching the gospel.
I take charge.
I take authority there.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Let's pray about it. It's happening. Let's pray about it.